Chapter 5. Rex Bob Lowenstein. As I have said, I have had many businesses, careers, and adventures, reinventing myself over and over. However, there has been one thread, discovered as a youth, that weaves through most of life. Music. Actually, it's the words carefully chosen and the stories told, carried along by the melody. I have always been attracted to doing things story-worthy, telling those stories and listening to others. And I vividly recall when I discovered my fascination with words. Nancy Ennis, my friend Dave's wife, introduced me to the word chortle. I liked the sound of it, how the sound reflected the meaning and its uniqueness. My love of words has never abated. As a radio DJ, I have been so very fortunate to be able to share stories of artists wrapped in musical notes, as well as my own unaccompanied ones for 24 years, and to plan to keep on keeping on. My first radio DJ gig was a volunteer job because my full-time job in 1990 was installing commercial cable, putting in underground lines and joint trench in new construction. I learned to do aerial construction on telephone poles from Jim Moorhead, a fellow that had no filters and most people thought was a jerk, but I found him to be incredibly knowledgeable and one hell of a good friend. Besides teaching me how to climb poles and handle all the gear as a one-armed guy, he also taught my son Search and Austin how to build computers, first 8088s, then 286s, 386s, and Pentiums. This likely fueled Austin's fascination with technology, at which he excelled. In the United States Air Force, his reputation as a 19-year-old computer whiz kid led him to be assigned to Joint Special Operations Command in Afghanistan, where he died. I began as a gospel DJ in 1997 at WDVR 89.7 FM, a little community station in New Jersey. But after a year, I started playing Americana music, a format that was just beginning, but it really spoke to me. It was alt country, and it twanged. When asked what it was, I would say, "Well, I can't describe it, but I know it when I hear it." I had a show called Hepcats and Neon Armadillos on Sunday night, and lots of the new Americana artists, folks like Candy Kane, Ray Wiley Hubbard, Slade Cleaves, and Ray Kondo, came to town and stayed at my home. Many of them were clients of my booking agent friends, Mark and Melissa Mencher, who pretty much kept a steady stream of wonderfully talented people coming. I became a program director at WDVR, and in 6 years took their budget from $20,000 a year to $200,000. And helped them start streaming on the internet in 1997. We went from 3 hours of Americana music per week to 108 hours of Americana, bluegrass, and classic country. I was awarded the Americana Associate Program Director, Music Director, of the Year in 2001, and was contacted by Wayne Plughoft, who was interested in building the station's website. This led me to meet his little brother, Big Kev, a 6'9", 270-pound fellow who has become one of my best male friends. He is a guy that grew up in Kearney, New Jersey, one of the places where they filmed The Sopranos. Do I really need to explain more? He is an amazing DJ and music aficionado, and we have been together now on 4 radio stations from 2001 until 2021. It goes like this. I get hired. They love me. I get Big Kev hired, and they don't love him. At some point, they stop liking me and now love him. They fire me or have me escorted out by the police, and I go on to another station. Then he gets fired, and it starts again, and will probably go on as long as we go on. As I like to say, if you haven't been dragged out of a radio station by the police, you probably haven't actually done radio. But back to WDVR. You see, I knew how to be a personality, a natural, some might say, but the owner of the station, Frank Knapp, taught me several concepts. Never speak down to the listeners. They are always smarter than you. And always smile when you open the mic. Pretend you were in the car and chatting with them, because that's pretty much where they will be when they listen to you. Big Kev mentored me on the art of radio and the importance of the segue. He always wanted me to think of how songs fit together. Sometimes it was easy, like matching beats, but more often it was a thinking man's game, a stream of consciousness with one song following another, forming a subtle message that someone listening could figure out based on words, topic, or some little nuance, but only if that someone was really paying attention. He dresses the same way. You look at him and you think, huh? Ball cap, t-shirt, baggy shorts or sweats and shoes. But if you look closely, you see how they fit together like a puzzle. An old school Houston A ball cap, a shirt that has something to do with Houston, that maybe only an insider would get, because he's about to interview Rodney Crowell, the Houston kid. It's the art of subtle. He and I spent hours and hours in my living room or smoky motel rooms with some of the most popular Americana artists recording private performances. I will always be grateful for those times and Big Kev's ability to convince such incredibly talented people to come play just for us. Yet I will say the biggest influence Big Kev had on me was this. His code is, if a friend asks you for a favor, you do it. No questions, no complaints, you just do it, because it works both way. I adhere to this code. It's also one that my son Search lives by, and it's one of the qualities I so respect in him. I have been friends with Big Kev more than 23 years, and I believe that this is one of the main reasons.